Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Spoken Heard. My name is Susan Dobie Chase, and today I'm thrilled to bring you Jillian Christmas. Jillian, how are you
today?
Oh,
hello. I'm so wonderful. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great. I'm really
Thank
glad
so
to
much.
Have you, too. I was so glad that you returned the interest in being on the show because I've heard so many wonderful things. In fact, I was just telling you before the show that whenever I mention your name to somebody or your name just comes up in conversation, people generally right after your name say, oh, Jillian Christmas, she's so wonderful. So I guess, if you've got a fan club that large that I knew that I wanted to have you on the show.
That is definitely a nice thing to hear, especially so early in the morning. You're starting my day off right. But I've also heard wonderful things about you. So thank you so much for including me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, so you have a lot of stuff going on. You had a show last night. You're working on a manuscript.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your life right now.
So my life is busy, but I'm getting used to saying that in a way that acknowledges that like I created that busyness. I love it this way. I did a show actually 2 nights ago with Alessandro Naccarato. Who's a phenomenal artist and musician now, too. And if you haven't heard of her, definitely check her out. And also is winning all kinds of literary prizes for her new book, for her new work. So I'm really excited that I got to share the stage with her, as well as Billy Nickerson. And it was just a wonderful, warm event. And I played all music. I don't often do sets where I just play music, but it was really nice. I was feeling very much in the mood for that. And I got dressed up in my prettiest white dress, so that was fun. But really the thing that's been taking up so much of my time and I've been putting a lot of energy into is the Versus Festival of Words, which comes up, just around the corner in just under 2 weeks. And I'm super excited about that.
Yes, that's there's like, so much going on with that. There really is. Let's take a step back. You played only music. What instrument?
I play the ukulele. And I also play the guitar, and I am just learning the drum sort of kit. I've played some drum before, but I've been taking lessons since December with a really great teacher. So I've been sitting behind the kit, and it's so good for the stress. The night of the event, I was playing just ukulele. Yeah.
Nice.
And it was great.
Very nice. And you do that a lot, don't you, where there's some, music-infused poetry, et cetera?
Yeah, it's actually my favorite way to create. I find I'm so inspired by melody and I work with a number of different musicians, and I've been in a couple of bands since I've been here in Vancouver, and it's got such a healing power. And also I feel that it really supports and uplifts the text. It's always sort of a dream of mine to continue doing that as much as possible. I have this kind of idea that, and maybe it's not probably a very original idea, but which is funny. they say that everything under the sun has been done already. And my thought is that the most, maybe the most obvious or the most consistent way that we can create original work that's like unique to a moment or to a particular feeling or atmosphere or anything like that is through collaboration. It's in those moments where only like these rare moments where all of the ingredients are right that you get these magical sort of pieces that emerge. So some of my mashups with music have come from those sort of late night collaborations with some of the the women that I admire and get to play music with. And yeah, that really has driven my desire to do more collaborative music and poetry work.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you're moving towards that, or you've already begun really pursuing that, is what it sounds like. Is there a series that's planned? You mentioned that you're in some bands. Are you still playing and doing poetry separately as well?
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit of all of that. Yeah, there are some shows where I do just exclusively, solo poetry. I perform with Chelsea D.E. Johnson, who's an incredible songstress here in Vancouver. If you haven't heard of her, please do check her out. She's incredible. She's also travels and has family down in Washington, so you might catch her down there as well. But so we do a lot of collaboration with music and poetry. Our project is called the Hard Love Tours, and it happens mostly outside of Vancouver on the road, so you can catch us doing that. I've also been a part of a band that's on hiatus at the moment, The Late Nights, because our drummer is in Australia for a little while.
Ooh.
Traveling and making some music down there. She's an incredible lady, Jess Jungle. And yeah, we actually, Chelsea and I connected in a group called The Maladies when I first got to Vancouver, and that was really what we did. Myself, Lexi Marie, who's another phenomenal musician, and Chelsea D.E. Johnson, and a woman who plays the mandolin named Lena Mandolina. We all played together, and I performed spoken word throughout, and kind of like a funky soul kind of band. It's one of my fondest experiences here in Vancouver, is kind of learning to improvise and mix music and spoken word to collaborate with people, and just like the kind of unique relationships that come out of those collaborations and band relationships. It's a whole new side of yourself that you can explore, you know?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And while we're exploring you, I would wonder if I could ask you if you would read a piece for us.
I would love to read a piece for you. I'll even see if I can do it from memory. We'll see. So this is a poem entitled Just How Some Folks Play the Blues, and it goes like this. There's just something about the wide-mouthed women, I say, with feigned bashfulness over the details of my latest adventures, down the front of slim trousers and up the backs of summer skirts. My lover is coolly unsurprised. It's all common tongue for the young ones like us who shake out our sexuality like boas, shedding feathers up and down commercial drives. But back in Harlem, when the blues were all there was between a big black bull dyke and a wooden box, wandering hands in restricted places landed some of the greatest voices of the day behind bars barely thick enough to hold any of their wailing. When Ma Rainey, mother of the blues, got herself jailed for hosting an orgy with her chorus girls, Bessie Smith bailed her out. Even now, there are stories that it was Ma who first inspired Bessie to howl, "It's dirty, but good." Two black Renaissance women, friends, singing about the thing that would have them jailed again and again, both of them with their men. It didn't matter. They couldn't keep that song off of their lips. The first time a woman kissed me, I heard the music. I was terrified that the moment she pulled away, my mouth would erupt into a clanking of pots and pans right where the horn section was supposed to kick in, crudely exposing just how many lifetimes I'd been keeping my breath tucked in the heels of my boots, waiting for permission to sing. When she asked me with saxophone tongue if I had ever kissed a woman, I wanted to be just as smooth and twice as brave, toss back my head and laugh the names of deities who had danced across my lips. I didn't want my mouth to quiver and crack into a pile of pleading at her feet. I didn't want my hand to tap out an SOS as I reeled it back from the steady blade of her jaw. I hoped that my arms didn't flap like mad, untethered sails as she dropped me back into my seat. In that moment, I wanted to be the even anchor of some badass blues fire bass line. I wanted to boom bop strut my way back into my whiskey throne with the ghost of Ma Rainey riding my tailbone and Bessie Smith lyrics burned across the lids of my freshly opened eyes.
Bravo. Just beautiful. Where did this poem come
Thank
from
you.
For you? I mean, what was the impetus, and where did it occur to you, and how did that come to be?
Well, I mean, obviously you can hear the music in that poem as well. So it's always a huge influence in my experience, in my writing. But that piece, I mean, I think living here in Commercial Drive in Vancouver, it's an area that is so welcoming to so many people. There's so much awareness of, like, queer lifestyle, queer issues. Like, all of that is very vibrant and alive here. And I, as a queer Black woman, am allowed to live my life in the way that I choose. And I think about that a lot. And I think about the fact that that is something that has been gifted to me by people who have come before and were willing to speak their experience and sing their experience, even when it meant that they would be thrown in jail for it. And so hearing the stories of Bessie and Ma Rainey, learning about that experience and how it has influenced my life and my freedom, it was necessary for me to speak those stories. And I was so happy, like, I think about 6 months later when I saw that they made a movie with Queen Latifah, and I was like, what? So I readily watched that movie. And it's nice to see those representations of, you know, those are the kinds of people who I can look back into history and say, that's a person who's like me and or has experience that is similar to mine and has had hardship around that and has pushed forward. So, you know, it's nice to have those examples. And representation is so important for so many people to, like, just actualize, you know, to see themselves and to know that they're worth worth everything. Yeah.
Right. Before you were in Vancouver, you had mentioned that, you know, all of that had happened when you came to Vancouver. Where were you before that?
I grew up in Markham, Ontario, which is about 20 minutes northeast of Toronto. And I lived there for most of my life. And then I moved to London, Ontario, where I went to school for a little while, and then back to Toronto. So, yeah, basically Southern Ontario is my old stomping grounds. And I came out here to Vancouver about, I guess, 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So did you adjust easily to the West Coast after being so centered around Toronto?
Well, I think I'm still adjusting to the, like, the gray winters. I'm definitely someone who experiences, like, seasonal depression. I just experience, like, depression all the time. So it's not, like, not just seasonal, but, like, you know, I'm a person who experiences depression. And it is triggered sometimes by weather or, like, you know, not getting enough vitamin D, things like that. And so I have to really, like, force myself to kind of make sure I get out and all of those things. But Vancouver is so beautiful. And, you know, we're just in the time where it's starting to get more sunshine than rain. And it's all of the cherry blossoms and magnolia trees are alive. I love it out here. And aside from the nature aspect of it, you know, it's charging to be here around the mountains and the ocean. But aside from that, the community of artists is just so alive. Like, I had no doubt when I came out here, even not coming out here and not knowing really very many people at all, I had no doubt that it was the place that I needed to be. Just walking up Commercial Drive, hearing, you know, people busking, and the Poetry Slam happens on at Café du Soleil, and the lineup is out the door, and there's just always something happening. There's community in the truest sense, and I felt like home. I felt like home the very first time I stepped my foot on the ground. So yeah, there's always an adjustment period in, you know, making home for yourself and, you know, making yourself useful to a community and all of that, like finding where you fit. But it was a joyful kind of work, you know? It was, so much of what has shaped me in the last 5 years is because of the people here. And the way that they've influenced my work and the way that they've influenced really just my life. And so I'm very happy to be here. I don't expect that I'll be moving anywhere very soon.
I'm sure they're happy to hear that. And with all the things coming and going in and happening there, you know, this is a very, very busy season right about now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, first is right around the corner. I'm so excited and also so tired.
Well, so tell us a little bit about Versus.
Well, I'm the artistic director of Versus Festival of Words. And so Versus Festival has been going on for 6 years now. This will be our sixth year. And I've been working with the festival really for 5 years since I got to town. I started as the volunteer coordinator. And then shortly after that, I was asked to be one of the directors. And now I'm the artistic director. And it's such a joy, mostly because, I mean, I've spent the last probably 8 years of my life collecting all of these sort of wonderful misfit artist friends across mm-hmm. the continent who are just so incredibly talented. I just, you know, constantly am trying to tell people how wonderful all of these artists are. So it's really a gift to have a platform to bring artists from across the continent out to Vancouver and also showcase the work that happens here in Vancouver that is really stellar. And you know, across the whole country, it's nice to have all of these artists come into Vancouver, see what Vancouver has to offer, experience the beauty of the city, and then take all of that back to their locales. So I get to curate that, and that is really a dream job for me. So,
Yes, what a wonderful back and forth kind of trade-off that must be for you. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've
got a... go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I was just going to say we've got a really vibrant festival this year with all of the growth that's happened over the 6 years. And we've got conversation groups. We've got the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam happens within Versus Festival. So we choose the champion who will represent Canada on the world stage in Paris. And we'll represent English-speaking Canada, as has been the tradition. And we've got... spoken word marquees, we've got workshops, master classes, we've got all kinds of things, and I think there's really something in there for everyone.
So where and when? How can we partake of all this goodness, Jillian?
Yeah, the festival runs between April 21st and May 1st in Vancouver, BC, in and around Commercial Drive. We've got about 9 different venues. There's simultaneous events. You can go to the festival website, please do. It's beautiful. It's at www.versusfestival.ca. Or you can visit us on Facebook. Versus Festival of Words is on there. You can just look it up. And the schedule is out. We've got so many events. We've got youth events and, you know, book launches and lit mag launches. All, and we even have this really cool event that's happening this year, which is a Cinemagraph presentation where artists, poets, have been asked to write 150 words. And then these wonderful visual artists created cinemagraphs that were inspired by the poetry that will be on display on the walls of our gallery space. So people can just go and walk through between the 24th and the 27th. And all of the information is online. It's a huge festival with about 45 events. So many volunteers who have donated their time to us. And, it's exciting. Please check it out. Yeah.
It seems so all-encompassing. You have all the kids events and I shouldn't say kids, the
youth, yeah.
The youth events. And then
I know, I've
the,
been trying to change my languaging around that.
I know, me too. Just that
yeah.
one word kind of seems to
yeah.
twist the knife a little bit. Let's see, and the adult stuff and all of it mm-hmm. happening all at the same time with all the different, you know, mixings of art forms and it's just amazing to look at the plethora of stuff going on. I can't believe that you can do this all at once.
It does seem like a lot, right? Like maybe it was, maybe it was a little ambitious. No, I'm just kidding. We've been definitely adding more and more to the festival every year, and it is a lot. And I love that because, you know, sometimes people will say things like, oh, you know, I can't decide whether I want to go to this event or that event. And to me, that's like, oh, yes, I did a great job organizing, because I know that there's so many wonderful shows that people want to go to, and they can get a taste
right.
of all kinds of different artists and different and artists that they recognize, but in different contexts. One of the things
yes.
that we really
yes.
love in our programming and we strive to do every year is to combine artists in new and interesting ways where they respond to each other or they collaborate with each other, workshop stages, things like that, so that we have that opportunity for collaboration, like I mentioned earlier in the show, where spontaneous things can happen and things that will never be repeated can happen. And I just want this festival to feel, you know, fresh and interesting and innovative, and that comes from all of the work that these artists are doing together. So that's really one of the most exciting things about it for me.
Excellent. Jillian, I was wondering if, because we're more than halfway through the interview,
yeah.
far more, hoping that I could interview a second piece.
Absolutely. I have a short one for you, and it's called The Gospel of Breaking. And maybe it follows the theme of the last poem a little bit. It goes like this. Dear God, is it wrong that so long after our separation, I still see your face everywhere? The holy water between my legs when she touches me, the wet in her eyes, head pressed back, her sinner mouth too full of heaven, this bruised knee city, springing with all the wrong kinds of love and all the best company to enjoy it in. I was birthed into a church too comfortable with a God who would make closets into coffins, but I have been born again into the religion of lost souls, baptized under bourbon-kissed streetlight and a halo of smoke plumes. There is laughter and blood in my cheek, and more than enough of it to feed the masses. Today, I see you in every busted lip and backroom handjob. My God, who has been so quiet, this must be your work, as baffling as all of your other mercies.
Wow, short and beautiful.
Oh,
and really,
you.
Really thought-provoking.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially, I don't know, down here, given the state of the political elections for presidents, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and looking at so much bigotry, whether that's
mm-hmm.
racist or sexist or, you know, you named
yeah.
ist, we've got it. I think that opening people's eyes to that is a huge thing, that it's, you know, what is godly and what is not. It's always something that has been
mm-hmm.
up for grabs. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we choose, you know, either we choose our definitions of what is God in, for us in our lives, or those definitions are given to us, right?
Right.
I was brought up Catholic in the Catholic Church, and you know, I don't have any real qualms with religion. I think if something makes you a better person and benefits your life and enriches the people around you, then like, you know, all the power to you. I wouldn't dissuade people from that. I just think that if the religion that is in your life is actually dividing your family or telling you who
mm-hmm.
you cannot love or tearing people down and tearing people apart, then how is it serving you? And that is the kind of sort of experience that I had in the church where it didn't feel like it was a place where I could exist, you know? It didn't feel like a place that wanted me or my experience to exist. And so that poem, yeah, just is to me a reflection on how I choose to create God in my life, or how I see God in my life, how I recognize
mm-hmm.
The divine and the things that I choose to call sacred. Yeah.
Mm. Very well said. Very well said. That must be, you know, I don't know if your family was very accepting while you were growing up, or if you even, you know, knew about your sexuality at that point in your life, or how it comes about.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though you've had some experience with I guess what everyone has to, no matter what your sexual preference is, trying to figure out how to create relationships without alienating the world. And that's difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, we don't always agree with, we don't always agree with people in general, but family as well can be difficult, you know. We come from a place that is similar, but we are very different people. And so sometimes negotiating that space in between is quite a challenge. And I hope, you know, I don't know exactly how my family receives me or my stories. You know, my family has been supportive in some ways and maybe quiet in others.
Yes.
But I hope that in the way that we treat each other in all, like across all sort of aspects of our lives, that we can do that with compassion and know that, like, you know, when you grow up with people or you raise people, you know what the core of their being is, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know that there's love there, and hopefully that drives our ability to act it with compassion, even if we disagree, which we inevitably will in some places. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Compassion, I think that's a big and important word in our society.
Absolutely.
So much today. So much. What a great word choice there.
Thank
you.
So
I heard, too, that you've got a manuscript in the works.
I have been working on a manuscript. It's a funny thing to say now because I've been putting so much of my energy into the festival. So
festival,
I kind of came
right,
to like
festival everything.
Yeah. I kind of came to like just about ready to like send it to some publishers and shop it around, and then I got kind of into high gear with the festival. So as soon as the festival is over, that's at the top of my list to revisit that and make sure that I get it out into the world because, I've been collecting all of these poems, and it would be so nice to hold them in a collection together. Yeah, that's definitely the next goal for me for personal projects. Yeah.
So do you have an agent or are you shopping it around yourself? How does that all work?
I do not have an agent, although I've been convincing myself in the last few weeks that I need one. So there's that. I don't have an agent. Everything that I'm doing is, on my own currently.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had some interest, and I do have, I have definitely some strong interest from some publishers. I'm lucky to be surrounded with some folks in the industry, so I'm pretty happy about that. Yeah.
Good. Does it have a
so as long as I can get it done
together?
You know, I think that this first manuscript that I'm writing, I mean, there are themes throughout, and you'll see that kind mm-hmm. of as it's divided in its sections, but it's really kind of an overview of my experience for the last 5 years. So you'll see a lot of different things in there. There's some funny stuff. There's some serious stuff, you know, religion, sex. It's all in there.
It's all good.
Yeah. Just a light reading.
We'll have
reading.
To keep our eyes open for that. Will you be putting up on your website, et cetera, on Facebook and everywhere when you do get it?
I will share it far and wide.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will be wonderful. Yeah. It really will. And, Jillian, I hate to have to say this, but we've got about a minute and a half left. I don't want to cut off your poem at the end here. But
no
problem.
Just
want to thank you so very much for being with us today. I really enjoyed
thank
talking
you.
To you.
It was such a pleasure. Can I read us out with one last poem?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay, this poem is entitled Fire, and it goes like this. I do not need to tell you that you are enough. You already know that everything that you are is all that you need. Even though the weight of this world might sometimes bring you down to your knees, you must believe. The poet Rumi once said, "What do you know of your yet undiscovered beauty? One of these days you will rise from within yourself like a sun. So I offer you these words from my own heart, lips, and tongue. If you look around you and everything is burning, licked in flames upreaching like a funeral pyre, check if you are breathing. If you are, it stands to reason that perhaps you're not the kindling, you're the fire." Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jillian. This is Susan Sobey Chase. This is Spoken Heard. Until next week, be kind to one another.